When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
Abedin. Okay, we'll start with Matthew Weiner. Is that
Is his name Matthew Weiner? Why did I think it was Anthony Weiner?
Oh, is it Anthony Weiner?
Anthony.
Oh, I thought it was Matthew Weiner. Well, that's the guy that writes Mad Men, isn't it?
Yes, which is a great show. Don't confuse these two men.
Sorry, Weiner.
One is a genius.
One's a Weiner. One, two. Never mind.
Pinky
Anthony Weiner.
Yeah. Anthony Weiner.
The man who is running the... odd man who's running for mayor of New York.
New York. I know.
2 years ago, he had to confess when he was a congressman. He had to quit being a congressman because he had to confess to taking pictures of his wiener, whatever,
yep. Mm-hmm.
and sending them to women.
Chicks on Twitter, right?
Something like that. Or yeah.
Who does that?
So exactly.
Oh,
so now there's a big press conference, you know, just recently. He does it again.
No.
He does it again. Oh, admits to it like, I admit it, I've done this. And then he's standing with his wife, Huma Abedin.
She's a big deal, too. She's like a big aide for Hillary Clinton.
Totally, but she was
very
Hillary
smart,
Clinton's
well-respected.
Chief of
staff. Yeah,
exactly.
There you go.
Exactly.
She's a big deal.
And she's married, and she was very quiet during the first admitting of the sex.
The Wiener scandal?
The Wiener scandal.
Gotcha.
She kept quiet. This time she came out and said, that she, where's her quote? Anyway, she was completely standing by him, that they worked on it. I know that it took a whole lot of therapy to get to a place where I could forgive Anthony. Ooh. It was not an easy choice in any way, but I made the decision that it was worth staying in the marriage.
Do they have kids?
Yes, they have a son.
Yeah.
So I thought,
kids are game changers, man.
I
don't believe you should stay in an unhappy marriage because of kids, but I do. Like it's funny because my parents got divorced, and I would always tell people who are in unhappy marriages, before I had kids, right? I was mm-hmm. like, your kids are not stupid. They know you're unhappy. You're not doing them any favors by staying in an unhappy relationship. You're setting a bad example for them of what intimacy should be. Get out, get out, get out. And this was just being a kid whose parents got divorced. Now, though, that I'm in a relationship with kids, I cannot imagine what it would be like if Heidi and I broke up. It's fascinating to me how my position has shifted mm-hmm. as the parent versus being the kid whose parents got divorced. And I just think to myself, like, how does this work? And I honestly think it's more about me. Just thinking about some other person being around my kids, raising my kids. Some other person living in my home. Some other person with my family. That's heavy.
That's a country song.
Yes, it is.
That's a country
yes,
song.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Although, not that that's really what you're saying, but...
No, but I mean... But
so go on. So go well, on about so, this thing
so
here.
So I read this interesting article in Psychology Today.
Okay.
Written by Jean Safer, PhD.
Oh, whoa.
And she says... She said, like, people are going, why? You know, like, why is she staying? How could she be? She's crazy. Is she crazy or is she just ambitious? And the doctor says, I think I know why. And I'll make this very brief. She goes, my patients do it. My own mother did it. And I myself, when I was younger, less comfortable in my own skin and far more desperate, did it too. Hmm. Women of all ages and at all stages of life, smart, capable, attractive, and otherwise assertive ones, struggle with hidden depths of shame, insecurity, and grandiosity that drives them to debase themselves, to ignore what they know, and to give the men they think they love and know they need second, third, and fourth chances. In a nutshell. So, I don't know.
Here's what's interesting about this is that I don't know if it's a black and white issue. So if a spouse cheats, do you just leave and end the marriage? And, you know, I don't think so. I think it's originally I would say if a partner cheats. Usually, and it's not the right response, but usually there's a reason. Like, I know this is going to sound crazy and all the women out there are going to go bananas. But I used to see a bunch of men cheating right after their wives had babies, right? And I was like, what bastards? How could you be a bigger bastard? You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know?
Yep.
And then Heidi had a baby. And I'm a woman. So to me, I can't just go out and sleep with someone. It's just not who I am. I'm not like, oh, hold on. I'm going to go out and just sleep with somebody and take care.
I must pleasure myself.
But
yeah,
men, so. You know, and I respect they're just different than women that way. They think nothing of it. They can have meaningless sex. Jake, chime in anytime.
I can't.
I know many men who
You can, but it feels terrible.
You're
afterwards.
Such a girl this way.
I am. It's so
like,
bad. Because
like most men I know, it's just sex. It's like getting a massage. Like they can go to a stranger. Thanks for playing. See you later. Whereas with most women I know, there is usually a connection. So, you know, the wife has the baby. She's feeling unattractive. She isn't interested in sex. Things are whatever, however they may be down there. She might be stitched up or whatever. Shop is closed for a little while. You know, she's going through postpartum. She's obsessed with the baby. And he becomes a complete and total afterthought. So now you have a guy that feels like he's lost his wife. And, you know, he hasn't had sex in probably, I don't know, months because it's like the last trimester and then the pregnancy and like maybe they're 2 or 3 months into it. And I think a lot of men feel displaced when that happens. And it's like, okay, well, I pay the bills and I provide the home, but there's no room for me because it's mommy and baby for a hot minute. And I lost my best friend. I lost my partner. And they don't go to divorce, but they're like, well, I'm going to get laid. That's what I'm going to do for me. And I think instead of knowing what to do with those emotions, or how to manage them or how to talk to their wives, because no one teaches people, especially men, how to be vulnerable and say, like, I miss you. I feel like I'm misplaced and I'm not on the radar. And, you know, no one teaches people how to deal with these emotions, especially, I think, many men. And they cheat. And then it's like, if they get caught because they turned a trick or whatever, turned a trick, like, pick, you know, whatever, went to a bar and got a, you know what, and the who knows, I don't think you end a marriage over that. I think it's like somebody needs to open up the lines of communication. Or the housewife that feels neglected for 100 years and, you know, doesn't know how to tell the husband, but then somebody at her yoga class all of a sudden starts paying attention to her and thinking she's pretty, and yeah. Then, yeah, she's cheating. And I find that a lot of times these things happen because there's a lack of communication in relationships and there's a fear of vulnerability. Now, in this particular instance, this Uma woman you're talking about, this guy has done this to her repeatedly.
Yeah, and he's not even really, I don't know if he's had an affair or not. But he almost doesn't have the balls. I shouldn't say that. To if you're going to do it, well, okay, this kind of take pictures of your privates.
That's
and
different,
send
though.
It out.
That's a whole nother ballgame. That's a completely different psychology.
It sounds like issue rather than.
Serious.
You know, if he's repeating this behavior,
cheating.
There's an issue.
He's a seriously destructive human being.
Yeah.
I mean, like, but that's like a massive cry for help. But I think, you know, why do women do it when the person cheats repeatedly? That's the question. Have you stayed?
Stayed what?
With a cheater.
I never got a confirmation that it really happened. Oh. So I would always doubt it. Mm. I always doubted it, and I doubted my gut instincts about it.
Mm-hmm.
And still to this day, you know, it's all been kept. So I can't say I have, because I've never had the proof.
You were able to deny it.
I denied it.
When I was young, for sure. And I was in a really bad relationship from like 20 to 27, 26, that person cheated on me. And then it was like, oh, no, I thought everything had changed. And then I came to find out later that nothing had changed. But I did stay with a person who was horrible to me. And I stayed because that person reminded me of my dad. Mm-hmm. And so it was me playing out this abusive pattern of thinking that, you know, when I got the right job or when I got prettier or thinner or whatever, I would be able to win that person over. That's why I had stayed. And it is based off of insecurity. Mm-hmm. I think we need to talk to some people about this.
All right.
Yeah, let's put in an email.
Okay.
Hold on.
So we are back, and Lauren has written, responded to the email to have a little chat with you about this particular topic.
So, Lauren, I got your email, and you said that you have stayed with a boyfriend who cheated. Are you still with him, or did you eventually break up?
We eventually broke up, actually, a couple times. It was an on-again, off-again kind of thing. And,
sure.
It was really hard. Because both times, I was sort of the other woman. So I knew what was going on, but the other person didn't. And so it made it extra hard for me.
Oh, was this the kind of thing where, like, he told you he was leaving her and didn't?
Yeah. He said, oh, yeah, you know, she'll... Because the first time, the other girl that he had been with her for a few years, actually. And she was in a different state. And he's like, she's going off to grad school, and
it's over.
I know she's going to find. Yeah, she's going to find somebody else, and I'm just staying for moral support, and it'll all be over soon. And over soon was 2 years later.
Did he lie to you along the way and tell you that it was over?
No, that's the one thing that I will say is that he never lied to me once. He was like, yeah, no, I don't know what's taking so long, and.
Right. Interesting. And what made you decide to stay with him?
For all of that, he was actually really kind to me.
Interesting.
He had sort of, and he was my first boyfriend, and my only boyfriend to date. And he had sort of made me feel like no one else had made me feel. Like, he approached me and he was like, I think you're really cool. And he, you know, sort of boosted my self-esteem and, you know, did nice things for me. And it was very caring, that right. aside. And I know that sounds kind of weird, but...
No, it doesn't. I think that a lot of times in these kinds of relationships, we're in love with these people and they do something for us. That's a friend of mine who stayed and was in a very similar situation to what you're going through. Mm-hmm. The guy had said that he was divorcing his wife and she came to find out that he wasn't, or he was lying about it. And she found out and left him. And then later, she just, you know, missed him. Oh, my God, nothing compared. Then they got back and he's like, no, I'm really divorcing my wife. And found out again after like a year that he was not, in fact, divorcing his wife. And this time I believe she's going to leave. But this man had all these qualities that she really loved. And she was in love with him. And I think that's just, you want to believe. You're so in love with that person, you want to believe that they're going to leave or they're going to stop or they're going to stay. Yeah. Yeah, like I do think that there's that part of you, like what I went through, where you feel like if you get to be good enough. Did you ever feel on any level like if you were good enough or better on some level that he... would eventually end it?
Oh my goodness, yes. Like I tried so hard all the time. I was like, if I just, you know, if I am just there more, if I just,
right,
you know,
yeah,
say I love you more, if I just like, if this... I just give him more, then maybe she'll go away.
This is, I'm telling you, this is the theme, Janice, because I've seen it in my life. I've seen it with my friends. We're talking about it right now. And it's almost what's in your article. And I think it's something that harkens back, as the article says, to like a deep-seated insecurity that's historical. Where, you know, for me, it was like if I could just be good enough for this person, I would win them over. But it was really me ultimately winning over my dad, winning over his approval. Which, of course, never happens because it's not about you. It's about the other person and their reason for carrying on multiple relationships, cheating and what have you, which always, in my opinion or experience, has to do with their own intimacy issues. Mm-hmm. Their fear of intimacy, their fear of vulnerability. But I think for the person that stays, it definitely plays into us thinking that we're going to be good enough to save them or help them or win them over or, you know, have them fall completely in love. And I think it's a historical, deep-rooted insecurity that makes us stay.
Oh, yeah.
That's sure. What I think.
No, that's and that's interesting, too, because maybe in this conversation that we're having, too, what made me realize is that no matter what, how powerful of a person you are, the matters of the heart
mm-hmm.
is your button. Matters of the heart is probably your most vulnerable button of all.
Because we play out those old dynamics that we have with our parents in those relationships.
Yes. Yep.
And so the things that aren't healed or are unresolved will always get played out in our romantic relationships, which is where you're going to see this woman so powerful. We're talking about the lady Huma Abedin, who's married to Anthony Weiner. And she, you know, here she is. She's so powerful, so successful, so intelligent, so well respected. I guarantee you, this guy is triggering, just as it said, some deep insecurity in her.
It's fascinating.
Well, thank you so much for sharing
Lauren.
Your story, buddy. Really appreciate it.
Oh, anytime. I'm so thrilled that you called me.
Well, thank you. We really appreciate you being so personal and forthcoming.
Oh, absolutely.
Have a great day.
Bye,
Thank
Lauren.
You. You too.
Ultimately, I realize that after you've been hurt once, right, I do think, look at the situation and see if it can be resolved. If it's like, well, you know, I felt often it's like the partner feels neglected And instead of being able to say, I feel neglected, I feel vulnerable, I feel X, Y, or Z, they go and they have an affair. Right. I think that can be worked through. I really do. I don't think you throw relationships away over things like that if they're fundamentally good. If it's something that reoccurs and it's a pattern and it happens over and over and it's part of the other person's pathology,
yes,
or issues, then you got to say, okay, how is this part of my issues? What am I playing out here? How is this destructive? Appreciate that you're not going to be able to change them. And then you got to leave, ultimately. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Heavy. Well, you picked the topic. It wasn't me.
Well, I was really
I'm just having my lunch.
With whom are you?
I know, eating my lunch.
My tuna sandwich is sitting
there. I'm just saying, you brought it up.
Okay, well.
That was something I found.
All right. Well, we'll be back with something snappy. That's what we'll be back with. Do not eat that black bean so close to the microphone. That sounds disgusting. Country song I like now by the guy who used to be Hootie.
Sounds like the 50s.
Darius Rucker. He's got a great new country song out. Yeah. Rock Me Gently or something. Reminds me of the days when I used to two-step. When I used to drink beer in two-step. Oh, God. Miss those days.
Queers and cowboys. That sounds amazing.
Have you ever two-stepped? Have you ever gone down? Have you done that? Two-step?
No, Janice.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Because number one, it's 2004. What year?
Have you been to the country bar? What do you mean?
13.
It's not
2013,
like old.
Janice.
Doesn't mean it. People two-step all the time. I'll teach you. You're probably a terrible partner, though.
I don't want to go two-stepping with you.
I'll twirl you. I bet you you're, no, but I mean, I don't mean you're a terrible partner, but I think you'd be a terrible dance partner because I think you'd be too controlling and you'd try and push me around when I'm trying to lead and be like, no, no, no. And I go, no, Jillian, I know how to two-step. And you'd be like stomping on my feet.
Show me. Autumn, would you please two-step with Janice? No one dances like that, honey, since 1954.
Why don't you get your ass to a country bar and you see people twirling around the room. You know, you got to get out. You got to get out of this thinking that you got to go to the bars with the neon necklaces.
What is she talking
Branch
about?
Out. I've seen the pictures of you
necklaces?
On the post stuff on the when you and Heidi go out to the whatever you go out and you go to the. You got to live a little.
What the hell are we talking about?
I don't know. Is this a segment? Are we on, is this
what are we
show?
Talking about?
All I'm saying is, I think you got to branch out a bit, Jillian. You've gotten too narrow in your social. You gotta get out.
Okay.
I think you'd look good in a little gingham skirt and a pair of cowboy boots. with a little cut off shirt.
She's just laughing all by herself. No one's laughing. You know, everybody who's listening's not laughing. Jake's not laughing.
No, but I can totally,
I'm not laughing.
Don't you think you
Autumn's
look cute
not laughing.
In a little short
but you,
skirt with cowboy boots.
It just cracks itself up over there all by itself.
Seriously.
All by itself. It just makes itself
can't you
laugh.
Can you see her and Heidi at a country
it
bar?
It reminds me of my 3-year-old when you like when she just starts talking to herself. Hi. Yeah. Sometimes I'll go in a room in the morning and find her just having conversations with no one. Hi. I like Janice.
That's the part of celebrity that I feel bad for you. I think it's fantastic the successes you've had. However, I feel your celebrity, as in a general statement, has taken you out of the human race slightly. That's my opinion. Right?
Out of the human race?
Out of, not the human race, but out of the...
this is a significant statement.
No, out of you, because you have to become more sheltered.
Oh.
So you don't go, like, how about going to a little country bar?
I've been when we were in Tennessee shooting Losing It. I went to a country bar.
Did you dance?
I don't remember. I was definitely imbibed.
You did it right.
Yeah, exactly. What the hell?
Okay.
I did a whole segment here on injury preventing warm-ups, and what happened?
you just
hijacked it.
Well,
I mean, oh man.
Okay, now do it then.
All right. So, one of my little contestants the other day,
yep,
didn't want to work out, or she did, but she was just like, her hip was bothering her, and we were on the treadmill, and she kept saying, I'm going to get off and stretch it. I'm going to get off and stretch it. And I was like, that's not going to do anything. Try to pay attention. Static stretching during a workout does nothing, absolutely nothing. If anything, it's actually weakening the muscle because it's a form of contraction, like a dynamic stretch, like toy soldiers and toe taps and things of that nature where you slowly go through the range of motion is a better warm-up. Cardio is a good warm-up, which is what we were doing. But a static stretch isn't going to do anything. And if you have a tight muscle, to be truthful, one of the best things that you can do pre and post-workout is the foam roll. Foam roll it's the best thing you should be doing. And essentially, it's like doing what we call myofascial release, or it's a form of massage. And there have been study after study that suggests 10 to 15 minutes of massage will do the best pre and post workout to help you loosen up the muscles and to help muscles recover from a strenuous workout. Now, foam rollers, any gym is going to have one. You can buy them online for like $10. We've talked about them before. It really, really helps, obviously, with tight muscles and connective tissue, but it is painful.
Yeah.
So you got to be prepared.
Excuse me.
And quite honestly, the more painful it is when you're rolling, the more that muscle needs to be foam rolled. So I've seen people do it and they go, oh no, it hurts. And I'm like, but that's the point. The point is it hurts, so you need to do more of it. And just some simple guidelines here. You want to work the foam roller back and forth over the muscle for a minimum of 30 seconds. Minimum. And if you find a spot where it's really tender, you want to pause on it for like 5 to 10 seconds.
Let it.
For me, it's always my IT band. It just is absolutely brutal. Another thing you can do if you're in a pinch is use a tennis ball. Mm-hmm. Have you seen people roll on a tennis ball?
Rely on it.
Yeah.
Rely on the spot.
Exactly. Yeah. So a couple of things like a hamstring roll. And what you would do is you basically place a foam roller under your knee. So let's say it's your right leg. Put it under your right knee and your leg is straight. And then you would cross your left leg over your right ankle. Does that make sense? So your legs are extended.
Oh, yes. Yep.
And you cross at the ankles. This way, all your weight is going to be on that right leg. You know, you put your hands on the ground and then you roll your body back and forth. And essentially until it reaches your glute. So from the back of the knee until your glute. And then when you do a glute roll, and this one I do use a tennis ball for. So you get in sort of what we call a piriformis stretch, right? So basically you would cross your right leg over your left thigh. So you take your ankle and cross it over the knee pretty much, right?
Yep.
So you get in that little piriformis stretch. And then you put the side of your glute either on the foam roll and you roll it out or on a tennis ball. And 30 seconds to a minute. I actually go for about a minute. And the pausing where you feel the pain and freeze. You're always going to get it right in the side of that glute, your piriformis. IT band. This is big for me. And a lot of runners get this. You may notice, have you ever noticed maybe you have a leg that appears longer than another?
Mm-hmm.
Or like if you were to go into a hamstring stretch and you look down and one ankle is below the other ankle and you think you have a leg that's longer than another, you don't. Your hips have been shifted. And this can cause iliotibial band pain. So that's the connective tissue that runs from the hip down through the knee. What you want to do is roll that out, obviously. So basically, you lay on your side, and then you cross your left leg over your right again. So you put all that weight onto the one leg, and then you're kind of on your elbow as though you were in a side plank. Does that make sense?
Yep.
And you start at the top of the hip, and you roll it all the way down to the knee. And it really helps. I do this before I run, and it helps so much because when that connective tissue between the hip and the knee is tight, it can cause a lot of knee pain. It's brutal.
And if you did have a leg a little bit shorter than the other, then you'd have to change your name to Eileen. I've been waiting to say, I wouldn't wait for you to stop talking just so I can say that. Eileen.
Where did we find her?
Okay, what's the next tip? Hang on, what's the next body part that you want to roll out? Do some more. I'm so sorry. I was so excited to do that. Go ahead, Eileen.
I think I'm done. I had a groin roll, the shoulder blade roll.
No, do the groin roll.
No,
how do you do that?
I don't want to do that anymore now.
No, but seriously, how would you do that?
You lay face down on the floor. You place a foam roller parallel to your body. Then you put your elbows on the floor for support, and you position your right thigh so that it's perpendicular to your body, with the inner thigh portion just above the level of your knee resting on the top of the roller. And then you roll your body towards the right until the roller reaches your pelvis, and then back.
I don't see that at all. But you go ahead. I'm sure somebody out there understood what you just said. Because the groin is in the middle.
You lay next to the foam roller. You bring your knee up so that it's perpendicular to your body. And you place the knee on the foam roller. And then you roll.
Oh,
you roll
got you
front
inside.
To back there. You big.
I got it now.
You know, all you ever want are these snappy segments, and then I give them to you, and then you just ruin them.
Well, it just, they're such good fodder for me to
okay.
ruin. Did you have another one after
no,
the groin?
No, I'm done. I've had it. I don't even want to talk to you anymore.
Well, all right, Eileen. We'll And Danielle would like to have a word with you.
Hello, Danielle.
Hello, Jillian. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. Okay, well, my question, actually, I have to start first by saying thank you. Because with the help of your DVDs, your books, your podcast, I have had the information I've needed to help me lose over 50 pounds since January.
That's great.
I am so thankful.
Oh, Lou just blew you a kiss. She's so happy. That's awesome, buddy. Good for you.
Thank you. So with that, it leads me to my question of how do you know when you've lost enough weight or even like when we're really at the right weight for our body frame?
I always say that it's about numbers, but not numbers on the scale. Go get a checkup, right? Check your cholesterol. Check your blood sugar. Check your blood pressure. If you get a clean bill of health from your doctor, then honestly, it's a matter of aesthetics. Just because you might be in a size 6 jeans and you wish you were in a 2, by the way, I know plenty of women in a 2 that wish they had the curves to be in a 6, you know, that has nothing to do with your health. That's a matter of aesthetic. So that's always, in my opinion, the absolute best true barometer for what's healthy and what isn't. And have you done that?
I have not done that. So that's actually really good information.
See? Now, having lost this weight, what does your gut tell you? Do you feel like you need to lose more?
Yes, I do. Like, I feel how I will, from reading your books, obviously, Slim for Life taught me that you need to set, you know, come up with a goal. So with my goal, I didn't want to do a vanity goal.
So I went off of a body chart I had found.
Okay.
And I'm large framed.
Okay.
So I'm a large, you know, large framed. I'm 5'6".
Okay.
And off of that, it told me I should weigh anywhere from 140 pounds
okay.
to 159 pounds.
All right. That sounds reasonable.
And that's what I thought. So I picked 160 as
yeah,
my goal.
Yeah, I was going to say, 160 at 5'6". I've met a lot of girls at 5'6" who are real healthy at 160. I think Danny came in around. We settled her at about 160, and I think she was... That was it. You know what I mean? She was...
Okay.
Yeah, we brought her in a little thinner than that for the finale, but it was too thin. She settled around 155, I think.
Yeah. Her body definitely was different from...
She was a bodybuilder, that kid. But yeah, okay.
Yes.
Are you not there?
And I haven't reached my goal.
Okay.
I'm still I'm 9 pounds away, but looking at 9 pounds and seeing, like, I still think I could go lower, or I want to try to push for that 140 mark.
All right, but matter of aesthetics, though, just so you understand. Because I guarantee if you went to the doctor right now, I bet you'd have a really clean bill of health. So with that said, you need to appreciate that this is just simply, like, your personal preference. You understand?
Okay.
And not health.
Yep.
And I would not go, I wouldn't go any lower than 140. That's for sure.
Okay.
And if you're starting to feel like you're miserable and you're looking sallow and you know, you're tired all the time, that's when your body's saying, like, I need more food. This is too thin for me. And you got to listen.
Okay.
Listen to how you're feeling. But I think it's really confusing for a lot of people, and they think that there should be a number on the scale. But there really shouldn't. There should be numbers at the doctor's office, and that's what matters. And the rest of it is personal preference.
Okay.
All right, buddy?
Okay, one last question. Will I eventually stop losing weight? Because I haven't hit a plateau. I still have just constantly lost weight, like 1 pound a week. Will that eventually stop when I hit, like, where my body says I should be, or just go off basically, like,
when you get
the numbers,
to that vanity pound number, yeah, it'll probably start to slow down, and that's when it gets a little tougher. I'm willing to bet you that when you get to about 150, your body throws on the brakes, most likely.
Okay,
and when it does, you should listen. Like, my body throws on the brakes at 117. No matter what, I can eat a ton of food, and I stay at 117. I can eat, like, perfectly and work out all the time, and I stay at 117. My body really likes to be at 117. And your body will kind of tell you, like, I feel good here. I'm healthy here. And when those doctor's numbers check out, that's what matters the most.
Okay, perfect. I thank you so much. That is so helpful.
All right, buddy. Have a great day. You out there, I want to know, have you ever thought about a career as a fitness trainer? Well, if it's something that you're thinking about, the first step you should take would be to check into the National Academy of Sports Medicine. Certified personal trainers are in high demand right now, and the National Academy of Sports Medicine will help make your dreams come true. These guys guarantee that you'll land a job within 90 days of earning your certification, or they'll give you your money back. You can get started right now with a free 14-day sneak peek of their fast, fun, and really easy online program. You can earn great money in a career that you love by just taking that first step. Go to usatrainer.com. That's usatrainer.com. usatrainer.com. Check it out.
We are back, and Floor would like to have a word with you.
Okay, buddy, what's going on?
Okay, so, So the thing is that growing up, I was always told I was ugly. And it's something I'm 30 now, and I'm still struggling with it. And I want to be able to, like, I turned 30, I'm trying to live my life, and I try to want to accept myself, and it's been hard.
Well, I'm sure. who said those things to you?
Family, kids at school. It was hard. Like not until this year, my mom finally was like, "Laura, you're finally starting to look pretty." I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I'm 30 years old. So it's been hard. But I'm trying to. My friends always are trying to tell me I'm pretty, and it's just, it's that whole, like, in the back of the head type demon thing. Yeah. They're lying to you, Flora, and they're just trying to make you feel better. That's the type of thing.
It's funny that you would think they were lying to you when they told you you were pretty, but you would think they were telling you the truth when they told you you weren't.
Yeah. It's the whole thing. Like, I know that I'm hoping they're honest, but the back in my head, it's like childhood.
Sure it is.
It's hard to believe.
Right, of course. All right, so let's play a silly game. What is your watch? What is your question?
Well, how do I learn to accept myself and see that I'm beautiful? Because I just don't see it.
Yeah. Okay. You know, this is way more complicated, unfortunately.
Yeah, I figured that much.
And is far more deep and complex than we could, of course, resolve on a phone call. You know, we're not going to end this phone call and you're going to go, oh my God, I'm a supermodel. But, you know, what I can tell you is that when people say things like you're ugly or, you know, they make comments, statements, attacks, it's always a projection of what they're feeling on the inside. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
And so... while it's very easy to tell you, you know, this is something that, you know, that your parents were feeling about themselves, this had nothing to do with you, you know, and even for you to go back in time and do your work about your parents and understand, you know, not to accept it, but to understand why they said it so that you would appreciate that it wasn't yours to own, you know, that it was about them. But even when you can understand that on an intellectual level, even when our feelings are not rational, they're still real, and they are still
emotional. Like it was like, of course, when I was a kid and preteen, or it's like, it's that age where you are most vulnerable.
Yeah.
I think too.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Yes.
Sweetie, what you have to do is you've got to get into some counseling, and you've got to work on, unfortunately, looking at the reasons that your parents would say these things to you.
And it wasn't primarily my parents. It was more like my older sibling and my younger siblings and the kids at school.
Yeah.
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 And saying things to me, just never okay.
Kids are mean, and kids feel insecure, and kids feel out of control. And to gain a sense of control, they feel like if they can bully somebody or make them feel small, that it will make them feel bigger. And that's why they do it. But ultimately, this is something that you have to work through and try to understand. Yeah. And then over time, as you begin to do things for yourself that illustrate a sense of value, even if it's something as simple as going to the gym or getting a manicure pedicure or taking a class in a subject matter like photography or fencing. And I say fencing because I decided I wanted to take fencing lessons the other day. Something that you've always wanted to do, right? If you,
well, I've done those things. I mean, like, I've landed on parachute a few times and trapezing.
It's the idea is to do things that you love, something you're passionate about, to coddle yourself, to baby yourself, to nurture yourself, to be sweet and kind to yourself the way you would to a friend who's hurting or your child or your niece or your nephew. And over time, you begin to rebuild your self-worth and your self-esteem. You begin to get in healthier relationships with people who value you. But it's not something that happens overnight. And you need to go back and really work through that time in your life so you can appreciate that instead of internalizing other people's insecurities, you identify them, give them back, and move forward, if that makes any sense.
That really makes sense. Like, I know, like, it's their insecurities, but it's still, like, that hard, like, balance of knowing and being able to be, like, it's to walk away from it, I guess, or something like that.
I know, bud. But in a way, right now, my best advice to you, other than counseling, is I want you to do the whole fake it till you make it thing. I want you to treat yourself like you're beautiful and you're special and you're worthy and you respect yourself. Mm-hmm. And over time,
this
will take root, but it is going to be over time. And I very, very strongly recommend that you get into some counseling to work this stuff through.
All right. I'm so glad I got to talk to you.
All right, sweetie. Have a great day.
You too.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye.
There's some old hurt in there, eh?
Yeah. That stuff, that kind of history, it's so tough to break. Yeah. I mean, it's so tough to break. I think the only way you deal with things like that is to recognize them when they come up and to go, okay, you know, here's my stuff again. I know where it comes from. I know from a logical perspective it's not real. And then overcompensate. Like, all right, today I'm going to be extra special loving to myself and create an antidote behavior. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally do. Well,
we
should go.
I know. On that note, we should go and do something nice for ourselves today.
And do something nice for ourselves.
Yeah.
I think that would be nice.
All right. Even people like you should do something nice for themselves, Jean.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.